Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyond Ananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello there and welcome to, welcome to Wiki Politiki today, where we are going to jump right in with my guest, because if we look at the foundation for what I call political climate change, where we actually can change from pulling against one another to pulling together in the same direction, where we shift from the tug of war to the tug of peace, I think it's very, very important that we begin at the beginning. And what better place to look at evolution than starting with biology? Because biology wrote the book on evolution. My guest today has written the book on new biology. Bruce Lipton, he's the author of Biology of Belief. He is one of the originators of the new science of epigenetics, which we'll hear more about today. And he and I wrote a book together called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future and a Way to Get There from Here. And as we look at our very challenged present, it's going to be interesting to see how we get to our positive future. And today, I just read this morning. I'm going to read you this whole little account. 15,000 scientists got together and created something called Warning to Humanity, a Second Notice. The first notice was 25 years ago, 1992, and I guess things haven't gotten that much better since then. Let me read this to you. If not checked, many of our current practices put at serious risk the future that we wish for human society and the plant and animal kingdoms, may alter the living world that it will be unable to sustain life in the manner that we know. The new warning is entitled World Scientists Warning to Humanity, a Second Notice. I guess we slept through the first alarm. It was published in Bioscience Journal. It says that we have failed to make sufficient progress in solving our economic challenges. Here it says once again, soon it will be too late to shift course away from our failing trajectory, and time is running out. We must recognize in our day-to-day lives and in our governing institutions that Earth, with all its life, is our only home. So here we are. This is the current deal, the current situation. The one thing that they do point to as a sign of hope is that we've done one thing right. We have actually collectively worked together to reduce the hole in the ozone layer. And so now we have, once again, 15,000 scientists warning of this dire situation. Of course, it must be fake news if it's 15,000 scientists, but maybe it's real news. So I want to welcome our guest, Bruce Lipton. Welcome, Bruce.
Steve, I'm so happy to be here with you and, you know, to start off this whole new series on Wiki Politiki. Is that it? Yeah. Well, what's really interesting about this is, as you said, if you want to talk about evolution, we can talk about those sociological and psychological economic implications. But the basic foundation of evolution, by definition, is biology. And when we leave the biology out, then we're just playing with memes at the time and not really understanding where we are and where we're going. And biology has been telling us for a long time. And again, I want to thank you for this opportunity because I know our audience are cultural creatives. Our audience are people who are really looking to move into another world. So I'm very honored to have an opportunity to speak with them.
Well, okay, let's just jump right in with biology. What does biology say about where we are right now?
Well, biology is revealing a very important fact. So let's just a couple of facts. You know, it's interesting because I've been putting the sixth mass extinction as part of my lectures since 2010. It was like in 2010, we're already in the mass extinction. Now we're in it. And I said, well, what is mass extinction? Basically, it says this, that five times in the history of this planet, life was thriving. And it was just rich and going full out. And then some catastrophic event led to from between 70 to 90% of all life being wiped out. Five times this happened. The last time, 66 million years ago, was when the dinosaurs were here. Now, of course, the ecosystem was really thriving, and then all of a sudden the dinosaurs disappeared, and now when we go back, we recognize that a comet or asteroid hit Earth somewhere near Mexico, and it was so big it just upended the ecosystem around the planet, and 70 to 90% of animals, including the dinosaurs, disappeared from this planet. Today, we're facing that very same problem, a massive loss of animal and plant life on this planet, and it's gone so far that we're deep into the sixth mass extinction. Now, the fact is this, that this mass extinction is not due to things like comets or tectonic plate movements. Science has recognized that human behavior is responsible for undermining the ecosystem, the way we are polluting the environment and raping and pillaging nature herself, cannot continue. And so we're hitting this wall. And the facts that I just gave, like last week in a lecture, is if you were here in 1970, they took a survey of how many animals were on this planet. And they just redid the survey. 62% of the animals that were on the planet are now gone. We're left with about one-third of the animals. Fish story is even worse. Since 1950, we've lost 90% of the fish in the ocean. And the estimate is now 2048, there will be no fish in the ocean. And that's like a science fiction story. Planet Earth, no fish. And that's because we're overfishing. We're destroying breeding grounds and, of course, polluting the sea itself. And I just got a report last week. In Germany, they've been 27 years, they've been taking surveys in their national parks of the population of insects. And they just reported last week that the number of insects is down 75%. And so what we're looking at is there is a collapse of the ecosystem. And the important part about it is sometimes we as humans perceive that we were here separate from the ecosystem, like in a biblical story is like, let's create nature and then we add on humans as an option at the end, and that somehow we were separate and distinct from nature and that we had dominion over nature. And with that dominion, what have we done? We've undermined the system. And now the numbers of 70% or more of animal and plant life is actually happening, that we are losing that much, which is the sign of this mass extinction. And people don't realize one important fact, and that one fact is this, that we are one of the species that will be lost in this mass extinction. So we're looking at our own ending. And you say, oh, how many thousand years will this be? And now they're talking decades. And one last thing is that NASA did a massive scientific assessment of the world situation. The conclusion is clear and unambiguous, and the conclusion is that within a couple of decades, industrial civilization will face an irreversible collapse. So we're looking at the world right now, and what we're seeing from a biological point of view is that our own future as humans and organisms on this planet is so severely threatened that our own extinction is looming in front of us. And as scientists recognize, we are the ones that are killing ourselves. And as you and I have talked about in the past, Steve, that this is the time for evolution for this reason. When you hit the wall, you can't keep going in the same direction anymore. And the issue is the way we've been living on this planet, the cultural understanding of our relationship to nature is so broken that we are destroying ourselves. We are hitting this wall. And what happens when you hit the wall? You have to do something different. And so crisis precipitates evolution. And the crisis that we're facing says either we as a species evolve now or kiss it all goodbye.
And, you know, obviously it's the human ecosystem and the planetary ecosystem. And we know which one is going to win.
The Earth will be very happy without us. In fact, in a humorous sense, like the Earth is having a problem. It's infected by humans, and nature is trying to clean up that infection right now, because if we eliminate humans, nature will come back into harmony again. We're the ones that are out of harmony. Nature is always in harmony. Remember those lines that we wrote in Spontaneous Evolution, that the Garden of Eden is not a battleground, you know. This is a harmony, is a cooperation among all organisms, with the exception of us.
Well, here we are right now, and this is one might ask, well, this is a pretty dire situation. What points us in the direction of emerging from this and evolving through this?
Well, the most important thing is our behavior as humans and our relationship to nature has to be rewritten in a way that is in harmony with life. That we are so antagonistic to nature that, of course, that's why we're undermining the web.
Overmining. We're definitely overmining, undermining. Right,
you know,
there.
It's kind of interesting because, as you mentioned in the introduction, this is not a new story. This story has been around since the 1990s. And the reality is, well, why haven't we talked about it? And the answer is very simple. Because it's corporate greed that is really driving the undermining of our civilization with overmining, as you just said. And the reality about that is corporations are actually putting pressure on preventing this information from coming out, because when we understand that how we are you know, destroying the environment with corporate greed, then it would really come back that corporations have to change. And with all that money, that change has been put out of our consciousness. And the reality, in fact, and it's important because, as you and I have written, and very important, is that the evolution we're facing is not a physical evolution. Humans aren't going to change in their physicality. What we're changing is in consciousness, our awareness of who we are, how we are, what we are relating to in regard to nature, and who are we in that story. We have a misunderstanding that somehow we and nature are separate from each other, when the simple biological truth is we evolved from nature. Point. If nature is broken, then we can no longer sustain ourselves on this planet, and that's the feedback we're getting right now.
Good. We'll be right back with Bruce Lipton. We're going to talk a little bit more about what we can do.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, Steve Bierman back here with Bruce Lipton. We were just talking about the the sixth great extinction. And as the Swami has said, if we lose the earth, there goes the GDP. So everything kind of collapses with that. So we want to get into a little good news here. This idea of consciousness, this is a conscious evolution process that we have right now. How can that take us from where we are to where we need to go or could go?
Well, there's an exciting story because it's based on new science. And the new science I'm start with is quantum mechanics. And people say, oh, yeah, that's that weird course and, weird stuff goes on in quantum mechanics. And we sort of like look at it, even if you study quantum mechanics, like, well, in the classroom, yeah, I studied it. And then I left the classroom and went to the mall shop and back into the old world. And the simple reality is this. Quantum physics is the most valid of all the sciences on this planet. There is no science more truthful. And I said, well, why is it relevant? I said, well, the fundamental principle of quantum physics, which was established in 1925, is that human consciousness is creating the unfolding of the experience that we have in this universe. So that all of a sudden, the first thing it says is that how we are creating our consciousness is shaping the world in which we're living. This is a fact of science. Now, you can say, well, that's really nice and weird and go back to your regular life. And I say, no. It's not a choice. Do you want to believe in quantum physics or Newtonian physics? That's our current belief, which separates the invisible world from the mechanical world. And Newtonian physics has said, you don't need to worry about the invisible world. That's a separate entity. And that in a Newtonian world, a human body, for example, is matter, mechanical machine. And the only thing that affects matter and mechanical machines is other matter and other mechanical machines. So we have systematically left out the invisible realm. And I say, well, what is that? Well, I say, that's consciousness, that's energy, that's a field that we talk about that we are immersed in. It's like we're in an aquarium of energy. And I say, we've ignored that in Newtonian world. It's not relevant. And now quantum physics comes around and says, the field, which is the invisible energy. Listen, this simple quote from Albert Einstein, profound and simple. The field is the sole governing agency of the particle. I say, okay, what the heck does that mean? I say, well, the field is the invisible energy around us, and it says the particle is matter, the physical world. So basically what you're saying is the energy, the invisible field, is the sole governing agency of matter. And I say, well, what is that energy? And the first thing is this, human consciousness, that thoughts are energy. And that's why we've left consciousness and the function of consciousness out of medicine. Why? Medicine is Newtonian. The only thing that affects a body is another physical thing, like drugs, okay? And yet quantum physics said, no, it's the energy that is more profound. And consciousness is energy, and that's why they come back to the foundation. Our consciousness is creating the world. So I say, well, what do we need to change? I say, we don't need to change the world. What we need to do is change how we respond to the world because we're creating this. Now, a lot of people go, oh, that sounds so New Agey. And again, I say, no, this is the foundation of quantum mechanics. And there is no science more truthful. So when do we sit down and start owning how I'm thinking and how I'm behaving is a powerful energy field that is shaping the world. That's the truth. So it says if you want to change the world, you don't have to go out and physically change the world. What we need to do is just change how we respond to the world, how we connect to the world. So the first thing is this. We want to move from where we are. Then the first thing is we have to recognize we're not victims on a planet that things are happening and out of our control. We are the creator of that planet. If a large enough population wants to create war, that's how wars start. But if a large enough population wants to create peace, well, that's how peace starts. And so what we have to do is change the politic of this competition. And this takes us back to a Darwinian story. And the Darwinian story, which is the shaper of the culture, that science shapes our culture, is based on two steps. The first step in Darwinian evolution is there's an alteration of genetics in an organism, like two dogs mate, make a litter of puppies, and then there's that one weirdo, you know, the runt of the litter, and it's like, well, there's a genetic alteration. And what was the purpose of Darwinian theory? If you mate two runts, then you're creating a lineage of runts, and that could lead to a whole new species. And people start to say, oh, yeah, that genetics and accidents in genetics are responsible for changing the species. And if you look at Darwinian theory, then we say over 3.5 billion years, genetic accidents led from a bacterium to the expression of human population. And so we're here by accident. I go, well, biggest problem is that I say, well, according to Darwinian theory and the principles, then why are we on this planet? And unfortunately, the answer turns out, well, there's no reason for us to be on this planet. It was a whole bunch of accidents and genetics. So I say, well, there's no purpose for us. And I go, oh, my God, first mistake. The mistake is this. Nature is an interactive community. Every organism in nature was introduced by nature to bring harmony and balance to the garden. And as you and I wrote, Steve, that garden is not the battlefield that we believe it is. The garden is cooperation. The only uncooperative elements in the garden appear to be humans at this point. And so it says, no, we do have a purpose. We're here to bring harmony. And that takes us back to the indigenous people. Like the Native Americans and First Nation people in Canada, go back 10,000 years ago and realize what they knew. They said, this is a garden, and that as humans in the garden, their job was to be gardeners. And all we've done is come into the world since then and have exploited this garden. And the reality, so we're not active participants in this harmony. So we're the ones that are actually causing this. And I say, well, what's the relevance? Well, we're the ones that nature wants to get rid of. And so I always joke about it, sort of like the earth is infected with humans, and that's why rising temperatures, you got a fever to kill off the humans. And it's like, well, that's almost a joke and not a joke, but this is it. And then part two of the theory that we write about. And I'm so happy to be with you because our collaboration really provides a pathway to take us from this point into a future where thriving rather than surviving is the value. The second part of the theory is based on competition. So it says, yeah, a new organism is created because of a genetic mutation. When will that organism survive in the world or will it die out? It's based on competition. So all of a sudden I say, well, Darwinian theory has two points. A, random events led to us being here, and now that we're here, we're in a battle of competition, as they say, you know, a struggle for survival with a competition for fitness. I said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, that means you and I are struggling. Who's going to be able to survive in this belief system that it's based on the fittest? So we're going to find out who's the fittest. And unfortunately, it comes to war and violence and war. Who's the fittest? I think I read the quote. It was really interesting. What does war do? It's not, war doesn't say who's right. War says who's left over. and the reality about that is we're in a world of competition. Competing with each other for what? Material goods in a Newtonian world, because matter is separate and everybody says, well, where's my standing in the world? I say, well, how much goods do you have? And, you know, then there's the rise of all those storage places, which to me is a big joke. We have so much matter that I can't keep it in a house. I have to actually rent storage spaces to keep my matter, you know. And I say, but where are you getting your matter from? Oh, you're exploiting the planet. And how much matter is left? Well, not that much. And here's the interesting joke. Why do corporations put down climate change? And the answer is simply this. We've exploited and taken the resources from everything that's exposed at this point. The resources that are left untouched on this planet are in the Arctic regions. And this relevance is, well, what? Well, the Arctic ice is melting. And while we're all looking at, oh, my God, rising sea levels and all the problems and climate change and all that, corporate people are jumping up and down in joy because they're saying, oh, brand new places to you know, rip off the earth with more of the reserves that we haven't been able to touch. So corporations are antagonistic to our belief about climate change because in the end it's their profit motive. They're going to get more minerals out of the Arctic if they can dig there if there's no ice. And it's like, oh, my God, where's the vision of people? And the idea is it's short term. It's like, what do I get right now, and I don't care about offspring. And, you know, we go back to the Native Americans. I say, how many generations?
Seven generations. That's so what that was all about.
And it was relevant because they said, if I'm not taking care of this, then my seventh generation will not have anything. And right now, seven generations, God, we're looking, according to NASA, maybe two generations.
Or we call them degenerations. We have two more degenerations before we've degenerated, and there's no more generations.
So the point is simply this. We have to learn that, A, we are nature. We are not separate from nature. B, that our creativity, according to quantum mechanics, is determining the expression of this world that it's in. And I say, well, consciousness is our creativity. So if you want to change the world we're in, we don't have to go out, as we mentioned, and change the physical world. We have to change our consciousness about the world. And so this evolution, again, is not a genetic evolution, but it's an intellectual evolution. And it almost looked like the intellectual dark ages that we just come into. But there's a good point to this, Steve, and it's like, why are we going through this? And it's not a coincidence or accident. It's part of an evolution. And the point is simply this. The structure that we have been living in for the last several hundred years of industrial civilization with competition is causing the problem. We must move into a civilization where harmony and working together, not competition, cooperation is the foundation. And I say, well, that changes the structure. And then all of a sudden you say, well, wait, if you're going to go from structure A to structure B, you have to go through a transition period because the structure of the old form is not supporting the structure of the new form. So a structure of the old form must come down as we're building a new one up. We can go back to the story we like to use about butterflies and caterpillars. I say the caterpillar is an old form of civilization. You know what's interesting? Caterpillars feed on one of the monarch butterfly, feeds on milkweed. And there's this beautiful milkweed bush where I live in New Zealand. And I watch the monarchs come in, lay their eggs, and then the caterpillars take over. And you know what happens? Starts out as this beautiful, lush bush. And the next thing you know, the caterpillars have eaten every damn leaf off of the bush, and now there's just a bunch of stems there, and everything's. And then guess what? Caterpillars reached the end. They destroyed everything that they were living on, and guess what? Now it's time for a transformation. And that's when they go into the pupa, the chrysalis. I say, well, what happens? Well, that's exactly where we are in the world right now. The structure of the caterpillar that lived in the world where it was self-destructive, that structure starts to come apart. The cells turn into soup, and then the soup actually reforms, and the soup of cells becomes a butterfly. What's the point? You can't go from caterpillar to butterfly without the transition phase, the coming apart of the old and the building of the new. So when we look at the world today, you have two ways of looking at it. You go, oh, my God, the thing's falling apart. It's the end of everything, you know, and that's everybody throws their hands up, and it's all over. And I go, no, no, you have to look at the positive side of this. The structure that we're living in is not sustainable, that to move into a sustainable world reorganizes the structure of civilization. And so by definition, the period we are in right now, the chaos that looks like falling apart, which it is actually the foundation of building up. So when we look at the world, you have two choices. You can go out there and go, oh, my God, I'm afraid the whole thing's falling apart. And I go, man, if it doesn't fall apart, we're in the worst situation you can ever imagine. So let's celebrate the coming down because it's really the seeds that are needed to build back up.
I love what you said last night about Greg. Oh, we'll talk about Greg Braden's insight when we get back after this message.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the